So we are up to Chuf Chaf Gimel Sif Gimel, the famous, probably the most famous set of halachas with regards to Stam Yenom, Yayin Nesach, etc. And that is the halacha of Mevushal. So that is tonight's halacha. The Gemara tells us in Mesechus Avodah Zarah that if wine is Mevushal, it is, you're allowed to drink it. If a Jew's wine was cooked, if a non-Jew Kozan touches, it's not a problem. The Gemara actually tells a story that is kind of alluded to in the Beis Yosef here, that Shmuel was sitting down to drink with this fellow named Avlit. Avlit is not Jewish, and Avlit like sees that there's wine on the table, and Avlit like, whoa, I don't want to go anywhere near your wine. And Shmuel says, no, it's okay, it's Mevushal wine, you're allowed to have a drink and we're allowed to share it. So the Gemara records that at least Shmuel was sharing Mevushal wine with his non-Jewish friend named Avlit. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't really give that much of a reasoning for it, and the reasoning for it is, as you can imagine, Zemach Lukas HaPoskim. So take a look in the tour, in the middle of the page there. So the tour says, Gimel, Kuf Chaf Gimel Siv Gimel. Kuf Chaf Gimel Siv Gimel. So he says there, V'kevon Shemishum Tzad Nisuch Asruhu Lo Asru Ela B'yayin HaRoy L'Nasek. Says, because there is an issue of Nisuch, right? The concern of Stan Yenim is based more or less, as we learned the first couple of weeks, on the prohibition of Avodah Zarah wine, right? So if it's not fit to be brought, to be poured on the Mizbeach, it's not fit to be poured, so then it's going to be, it doesn't run into the problem of Stam Yenim. Lefichach, says the Torah, Yayin Mevushal Shalanu, our Yayin Mevushal, Shenaga Bogoy, that a non-Jew is touched, Ein bo mishum yayin nesach. You don't have to worry about yayin nesach. Umi'imasai nikr mevushal. And from what point is it called mevushal? Mishahartiach al gabe ha'ish. When it is boiling on top of the fire. Okay, so there's two issues here. Number one is that if it's cooked wine, so non-Jew is allowed to touch it. And the second thing is that he is recording here is, and by the way, when is it called mevushal? When it, martiach, literally means to boil. So is that really what we require? We require it to boil the wine. So those are the two main issues that we need to deal with.
When we went to the Vinyamina winery, they have a process where it just goes up to a certain temperature for like a split second.
Oh.
And then it goes back down again. It goes to like some kind of pipe or something.
Right, so that's all.
It's still very good wine and very drinkable. I think here it would suggest that the wine is
okay,
not
so all to be so all to be discussed. So, okay, that's all tonight's share.
But it's Mevushal.
So
when it gets to that, however long it is.
It's like for a split second.
Well, they call it Mevushal.
Okay. Okay.
How do you know it's Mevushal? It says on the label. What do you mean?
No, I understand.
Okay, so what does it say? So the Beis Yosef says, he quotes that tour, and it says, Memra Perik Ein Mamidim. That's a Gemara in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, Perik Ein Mamidim, Mekamra Hasim. It says there, Deshmul Havashasi Leim Avlit, that Shmuel used to have this drinks with his fellow named Avlit. So Bechasava Rush, so the Rush comments there, Adavar Tamua. This is very strange. He says, honestly, the whole point of the Gezerah is to avoid intermarriage. Gezerah. So what, just because you boil the wine, you don't have to worry about intermarriage anymore? What does one have to do with the other? And if you're going to tell me, well, it's not being put on the Mizbeach, he says, well, wait a second, wine that is diluted is also not supposed to be put on the Mizbeach. And that, the prohibition still applies to that. So the Efshar, so he answers, Shalafisha Mevushal Eino Matzoi Kol Kach. He says, no, this is the reason that Yayin Mevushal is permitted because it is not so fine, it's not so found, it's not so common, right? Umilsa Delo Shchicha Lo Gazribei, and because it's not Shchicha, because it's not commonly found, there is no Gezerah that was placed upon it. Okay, so that is the Rush's reason against the Rambam, right?
There's a principle, right?
Right.
Generally, something not common.
Right, that is a common thing. So a question that is out there, an open question is, well, okay, it wasn't common then, what about if it's common now? Right?
Yeah.
Right? And what defines something as being common? So,
I think it matters, because if they didn't make a decree, there's no...
Oh, and that's the other question. So is it all wine that isn't commonly made, there's no gezerah on, or is it wine, there's no gezeir on mevushel wine.
Right.
Well, that's what you want to say. That's what
it means.
But it's not necessarily what it means. It was the gezeir formulated as, well, we're looking around, the Rabbanan of the, the 400 BCs, and they look around and say, oh gosh, no one drinks boiled wine here. That's, so we're not going to impose a gezeira on that, and that's the way it's going to sit and stand low plug forever and ever. Right? That's your version. Right, the other perspective is that the Rabbanan sat around and said, "We're any wine that is commonly drunk is not going to be allowed to drink." Right, so if all of a sudden yesterday when we were in Manhattan, I was shocked. This is not in a Jewish area. We're like 45th Street or something like that. No, 50th Street. Mm-hmm. It's in the industrial area, right, where all these car dealerships are around. And there's a massive billboard from Bartonura Moscato wine.
Oh, yeah. And
says on it, best served when chilled. And then like there's written in, you're like best served when you're chilled. That's the chat, right? But there is a massive bottle of Moscato wine. And if you look carefully, there's an OU on the label, right? Know. And sure. Yeah, I can tell me that's not shchicha when there's a massive billboard in the middle of Manhattan for it.
They sell the stuff in the States region.
What?
They sell the blue wine, which
is a very popular wine.
It's the States store.
Right.
Along with the Manchevich.
Okay.
The only one you can get to.
Okay. So, so you're going to tell me that's a little shchicha when it's served, and not just is it a billboard in Manhattan, but it's also even in the Pennsylvania State Liquor Store, right?
That's
right. Ain't Raya Gudel Mizu?
What's that word?
Okay, so that's
common. Found.
So that's issue number one. So issue number two, and we'll just do it here so we don't have to keep going back and forth, that the Beis Yosef raises is... Oh, and by the way, there's a third reason that the Beis Yosef doesn't mention for some reason. The Rashba says that the reason why Mevushel wine is not a problem is because this taste has changed to enough of an extent that you don't have to worry about it. I mean, that it's different than wine.
So really? It's not wine?
Yeah, because you're basically ruining it.
That's okay. Okay. Says you, Mr. Connoisseur. Okay. So so comes the Beis Yosef. And the
wineries
Yosef,
might have a question.
The Beis Yosef continues on and says, the wineries for sure say that you're ruining the wine. They say it's got to do what's good for business. These crazy Jews want boiled wine, so they'll boil their wine. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, and when do we want, when's it called Mivushal? So the Turk says, when it boils. Mishartiach al Gabeish. He says, V'chein Kasav Shamarash, the Rush says also, V'nasan Tam Yishum, the Parakira Nechliku Yarminon Hefshiru Zehu Bishulo, and there's a machlokas in Shabbos about whether warming is considered cooking. When it's boiled, everybody agrees that that's for sure cooked. And that's what the Ravid says. Name the Gaon, the Mechim Pasuk Sefer Truma, Vaharan, Kasav Amar Divrei Ravid, Aval Haramban, Kasav Shekeshechasar. The Ramban gives a slightly different level or point, boiling point, and he says when it starts being chaser, when it starts evaporating. Oh, when is that? Agavia or Mimidasa, when you start losing a little bit of its measure, Nasa Mevushal, that's when it's called the Mevushal. Right? So one is they're trying to talk about what amount of the flame is, and the other thing that they're discussing in the Ramban Shita is, it's not about how hot it gets, but it has to be that there's going to be a certain amount of dilution that's going to take place.
No, it's not dilution.
Not dilution.
I'm sorry. I strike that from the record. Right, evaporation.
Well, it's not that difficult, because alcohol is extraordinarily volatile.
Okay.
But if you put it at a low temperature and leave it long enough, you'll evaporate.
That is a good ha'ara as well. Okay, so Rav Moshe's tshuva is getting written as we speak here. Okay, so kasev keshechasa gabe or mimidasa nasim mevushal k'der sinam biyushalmi. Okay, in mevashin yain shel truma ifneishim mimiyuta, as it quotes from Yerushalmi, that you're not allowed to cook wine of truma. Why? Because you're going to waste the truma. You're going to cause it to disappear, right? And that's not a good thing to do when it comes to truma. Mimidasa be'efshar deda. It's possible that really both is really the same measure, right? How do you cause wine to evaporate? You boil it, right? So it's going to be the same measure. Right? That when you boil it, that's called cooked. Right, and there are those that say, aka his Rebbe, the Ramban, right, that it's not called mevushal until you cause some evaporation, and appears to me, says the Rashba, Shiyasharlarticha below miut midasa, right? It's not possible to boil it without the measure going down. The Kabbalah Sagaona Machriya Ad Kamashem, right? And that's the Masorah Ad Kamashem. Okay? So we seem to be that the Beis Yosef concludes that Hartiach is whichever one you take, it doesn't matter, it's the same thing. Boiling is going to equal evaporation. Right? Good so far?
So where's a look. Where's the Ramban talk about halacha? You said that, did I get that wrong?
That is the Ramban. Where would we get a halachic statement from the Ramban?
It's mostly a.
There's Ramban al Torah, where he actually does have halachic statements. So there are significant halachic statements that come from there. But this isn't there. There's either Ramban al Ashas. He does have a commentary on Shas, yes. I think it was like almost like out of print, but like literally out of print for a while. So the Rashba is his Talmud. So the Rashba will often quote the Ramban. So oftentimes when you see Shita Saramban, it's really the Rashba quoting the Ramban. But we do have nowadays Ramban on much of Shas, and then there are specific areas of Halacha that the Ramban wrote on. So in Hilchos Avelos, there's a sefer called Torah Adam. You might sometimes see a sefer Kol Kisvei HaRamban, like a two-volume Kol Kisvei HaRamban. So some of that is wild, like Pirushal something, Eov or something. But part of that is some sefer called Torah Adam, which is a very thick, 150-200 pages on Hilchos Avelos, Hilchos Refu, etc. So Ramban certainly has his halachic chops, so to speak.
The point of the Ramban, what he seems to be saying is that the loss of the volume is what makes it unfit to be Yayin Nesach, or to be used in libation. Is that correct?
Well, it's a different discussion. This is once you have the Rambam versus the Rush, right? Both are saying they're trying to say what the Sfar is for the Gemara. I mean, why is it that Mavishal is a problem, right? But we know that Mavishal is not a problem. But we know, right, that Mavishal is not a problem, right? So now we have to say, okay, so what's Mavushal?
But Mavushal is not a problem because, as far as I understand,
that was the first half of the Beis Yosef.
Okay,
so that's the Machlok, right? The Rambam writes
because of the Nisuch.
The Rush is because it's Eino Shchicha, right? And then, but what is called Bishal?
So that's
we have Bishal a few other times in Shas. So how are you going to take that from there and put it by us? Yeah. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say on this? So Shulchan Aruch Kuf Chaf Gimel Siv Gimel explains.
Gimel.
Okay, so in Kuf Chaf Gimel Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yayin Mavushal Shalanu. So Yayin Mavushal, are Yayin Mavushal. So that's actually a key word, right? Yayin mevushal shalanu, our wine that is mevushal shenagabo obik luchavim, which a non-Jew touched, right? Mutter, it's mutter, it still is mutter. Umeimasai nikr mevushal, and when is it called mevushal from? So it says the Shulchan Aruch, vishartiach agabeish, when it's boiling on top of the fire. Okay, so he seems to take that first approach that's discussed in the Beis Yosef, right? The approach of the who was there? The Ran, the majority of the Rishon, the Ran, the Ravid, the Rush, right? So to the Shulchan Aruch only quotes the idea of Hartiach al Gabe Eish. Comes the Shach in Vav, and it says Mutter. He says, first of all, the Shach adds in Bafilu Bashtia. I mean, you're even allowed to drink it. Or that, did we have a Havmi? You're not allowed to drink it. Hans Akusei, you're not allowed to drink it. So there is a Rashi in Avodah Zarah. I mean, there is a Rashi on Shas that seems to indicate that the heter might only be for hana, not for drinking. So there is this, there is this Shitas Rashi out there, which is ironic because what is the brand of Mavushal wines is Rashi wines, right? But it could be that Rashi wouldn't even be comfortable drinking Rashi wine. Maybe. Although I think Rashi's wines are made by Kedem. I think Kedem really makes all these wines, from what I could tell.
Royal wine.
And what I found out from is that Kedem does not employ a non-Jew. They have a little thing up north, you know, in the Catskills, kind of where you can go visit and have wine tasting and stuff like that. And whatever, that's like where it started. But really, stuff happens in Bayonne. Bayonne is they have like the, yeah, this massive Bayonne place, and like they don't allow non-Jews like into the building or something. Like
the same in many like in Benjamina when I went there. The guy, it was a very frum-looking guy. Right. That had the keys.
But that's in Israel.
Yeah.
Right. In America, even like, yeah. no one's allowed in. Yeah. So, anyways, so comes the Shach and says mutter. He says vafilu b'shtia, vafilu chachila mutter, and even lechachila, it's okay. Lishtoso imo v'dikuchav, you'd be allowed to drink it with non-Jews. Kein hu b'shasu poskim. That seems to be the opinion. That's interesting. He writes that b'shasu poskim. Everybody says that. Okay. Fine. Comes the little more controversial Shach and says Mishartiach al ish when it's boiled on the fire. Dahainu, which is the same as Shismait Mimidaso, that it loses its Mida, Aide Reticha. It loses its Mida by way of Reticha, by way of its evaporation. Kenkas of Harashba Vairan. That's what the Rashba and the Ran writes. Okay? So he puts the two of them together, right? That boiling equals losing stuff evaporation. So it comes from Moshe Feinstein, has a 2-page tshuva or so. I didn't make that source sheet when we made it originally, but he writes, he says, what is considered Bishul, right? So he says, well, you know, there was a discussion about what Bishul is, and they said, well, Bishul equals, what were the examples that they said as Shartiach, Avi Bishul, when boiled is considered Bishul, comes the Igros Moshe and says, I think Yatzel Espo is also Bishul. Right, we could characterize Yatzel Espo as Bishul, and this is where Rav Moshe, I think this is the only time that Rav Moshe actually puts a temperature on Bishul on Yatzel Espo, where he puts it at around 165 degrees. And he also adds in. He says, "Well, you know, we're going to talk about times of evaporation. Well, you could leave wine out for a day; it'll also evaporate, right?" So Rav Moshe says, "No, so it must be right. Wine starts evaporating at that type of degree. You don't have to wait for it to boil at 212 degrees, mm-hmm. right? A good boy, you know, get 265 degrees. That should be sufficient. That's right. It's very v'hine yesh factories miyayin shemavashlin yinoseim admidas hachom shebedinosenu lo pachus mamidas shomeya v'shish." Grade, right? 165 degrees. Well, I don't think he means Celsius. No. Right. Shemidas chomze vaday hu yosir midas yatzula. This is certainly more than yatzula. Shelachin fima shekasafti im baze iser maga akum. The vaday hu bishul begam vaday mismay. Because that's certainly considered cooking, and that's certainly considered that you're going to cause wine to evaporate. So it is. First of all, it's interesting. This is the only time that he gives a measurement to Yatzel Espo, at least to my knowledge, right? But this is you can't go around and then turn to Hilchos Shabbos and say, oh, so 165 degrees and Hilchos Shabbos is also going to be considered Yatzel Espo. Anything below that is not Yatzel Espo, right? He's saying this is Lahachmir.
Sure.
Right, this is a lahachmir, but lekula, right? You would, I mean, or the other, you know, for Shabbos, the chumrah would be to give you a lower degree. Right, so this can't really be extrapolated to other halachas, but that's the 165 degree measurement. There are, as you can imagine, it's a little bit of a chiddush, right? Especially when it says retiach in the Shulchan Aruch, and there are those that disagree, which is why on bottles of, and so how do we?
Well, pass we don't it? Know what the boiling point of wine, because it's got alcohol, which is volatile, so maybe boiling at a lower point than water.
Right. So yeah. there are though, if you look on bottles of wine seem to be famous for having multiple hechsherim on it, right? So that's part of the reason. Because there are other posts who disagree with Moshe. They go up to 185, 190. I don't think anyone goes up to 212. But they go to higher degrees than Rav Moshe. Yeah. So that's why people, you know, those that are in the know will, you know, take specifically Hashirim. I will take specifically Hashirim that they know will go to their degree. But that is one of the issues out there when it comes to Bishul.
So the question,
one question
is, what's pasteurization temperature?
Right. So what is pasteurization? I think pasteurization is around this. I think it's like 170 degrees or something. So they that is okay. The problem is, as appears on the back of these sheets, is that pasteurization is flash pasteurization. So to flash boil it, is that really considered sufficient? So let's take a look here at the back of this page and see some of the issues. That promotion is a different tube for promotion, not really our topic. But number six is a very important tshuva from the Tzvi Pesach Frank. So the, and this is quoted all over. One looks in the, remember, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, what was the language that he used? Yayin mevushel shalanu shenagava ovei kuchavim. Right? Our wine that is baked, that is cooked, that a non-Jew touched. Right? That's actually the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, our wine which they touched. So that all of a sudden, wait a second, there's really two different issues here when it comes to wine. Right? Number one is what we call stam yinam, wine that was made by a non-Jew, and then they give it to us, and we don't know where it's been. And the other one is the wine, our wine that they touched, magas akum. So perhaps this heter only applies to magas akum, not to stam yinam. Right? How do you know it applies to one, not to the other? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank here says, Nishalti, says, I was asked, Mirav Echa, Biartu Sabris, Abis Karosha Shel Notrim, Sheosin Sham Yain, right? On a non-Jewish factory where they make wine, Vitasias Hayayin Hibiderek Zos. Right, they make the wine this way. Manifa Nava Magavi Reshes, Shabakoha Hashmal Soviva Holifa Over, Hiladerek Brechal Shalmayim, Hilin Kosam, right? That they put in this machine, and then it goes into this machine, and they put the grapes in the machine, right? It's just grapes, right? There's no Isser of Nagias Anavim, right? So Nanju takes the grapes, throws it into the machine, and the machine, cleans them. And we shame over our reshes in anavim l'toch machona lahafrid hashrigim anavim, and then the machine separates the skins from the grapes umin hamachona yotze hareshes im anavim levad umistoviv hareshes ad shanavim noflim l'toch yored haumedes ala ish v'anavim yotze mea yorek kashem uvushalim. And then from there the machine, it drops them into this thing where it boils it up. Okay. And then it goes something. Maholchem and Noflim al Gavi Shulchan v'Kashem Mitzdavrim Litzibur Gadol Yored Aleim Mekevesh Lachoshin V'Soktim V'Yayim Nechzav Al Min HaShulchan V'Toch Abreichem Yuchezes L'Chitas Yayin. And then it gets squeezed out. Then it goes to something else. So Nanju doesn't touch it the whole time, right? But it's owned by a non-Jew, right? It's a non-Jewish factory, but there's no non-Jew who touches the wine at any point, right? Until it comes out. But at that point, it's already been mevushel. Right? So the question is that mutter to drink? So vine rav echad hekulahem, the second paragraph, right? That's fine, that's great. Right? It didn't touch the hand of a guy until after it was cooked. Right? Mutter li Yisrael. Right? Because yayin mevushel, there's no gezeir of yayin esach. He says, however, lidati yish lefakvik bazeh. He says, I have a problem with this. Shemiloshon Harambam Hatur VaShulchan Aruch, right? Shechasu Vahetu Sheyayin Mevushel Gabi Yayin Mevushel V'Nagabo Akum Mashma Shedafka B'Yayin Yisrael V'Negias Akum Hitir Mevushel. It sounds like only if a Jew, owns it and a non-Jew touched it, that's when Mevushel wine is okay. Aval Lo B'Stam Yinam Shel Akum, but not Akum Stam Yinam. Right, Adam Mospirim Al Pi Kushus Harash Huva Beis Yosef. Oh, actually, right, the parentheses are backwards, probably. Right, Shehiksha V'chi Mishum Shahar Tichu Lo Shaycha Hach Gezer Mishum Benoseim. Right, that question of right, there's no gezera of why should it make a difference with regards to Benoseim? Benir Shleficha Kasa Rama Meheter Shleyam Mevushel Rakel Gabi Yain Shle Yisrael V'Negias Akum. You think, right? Is only the heter is only with Jewish wine that's touched by a non-Jew? Mishum Shabiyayin Yisrael Maga Akum Leikum Mishum Benoseihen. Because if it's a Jewish one, if a Jew owns it, so then you don't have to worry about Benoseihen. I mean, why did the Rambam write that? How did the Rambam know to make that distinction? So claims of Tzvi Pesach Frank, it's because of the kasha of the Rush, right? The Rush says, well, what's the difference? if you're trying to intermarriage, what's the difference whether it's boiled or not boiled? So says the Tzvi Pesach Frank. No, if the heter is only if it's wine owned by a Jew, right? So then I can understand it a little bit, right? You're allowed to have cooked food with a non-Jew, right? Even though bishul akum might be to prevent intermarriage, right? If a Jew made the food, right? You're allowed to have it with a non-Jew, right? So that way a Jew is exerting control, and therefore it's okay. So that's issue number one. So that it has to be the heter of mevushel only applies to a Jewish owned company. Not to a non-Jewish home company.
So that's why Welch's tomb is not.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, as you pointed out, the owner of Welch's had a Jewish last name.
Yeah, but he didn't have Jews.
It was the board chairman.
Yeah, he was just the chairman. He didn't. The Jews weren't making the Welch's grape juice.
We don't know.
No, but it might not be Stam Yinam if it's Jewish owned. Right. The problem is it's.
But the workers may have were probably not Jewish.
No, but that's Yayin Yisrael Shenagu Akum. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, so that's issue number one. Issue number two. So issue number two then is I remember one time in Shir, Shachter was discussing the Heter of Mevashel, and he like made the comment like, I don't know, I hear nowadays that all the churches will use Mevashel wine, they don't really care, and so maybe the whole Heter falls away. So the truth is the language of the Rambam and the, of the discussion here is that it has to be good for Nesach al Gabi Mizbeach, meaning right. on our Mizbeach, right? That it doesn't really matter what the non-Jews are using it for. It's our Mizbeach, that we're the ones who make the rules, not necessarily them. So that's, what?
Yeah, go on.
No, that's the language that the Rambam uses, that we can't start checking around about maybe Avodah Zarah will pop, like maybe Avodah Zarah will use a grape juice. Like, how do you make that, you know, so you have to draw the line somewhere, so we're going to draw the line at the way it would be accepted on our Mizbeach, not necessarily their Mizbeach. So that doesn't necessarily make the difference. But
so would there be people that wouldn't make Kiddush on Mevushel wine because it's...
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's the Rambam. The Rambam talks about that the wine also should be wine for kiddush should be able to be used al gabi mizbeach, and therefore, right, there are those that will use sugar free, no additives, non mevushel wine specifically for kiddush to be able to that. It's the Rambam. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That Rambam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well.
I sort of assumed that the requirements were somewhat parallel, but I guess there's no reason to assume that. I mean, there is a Gemara in Gibeon, you know, where the guy puts the moon
right
and the blemish and the animal and the
right
to the temple, and it says there that
it makes the
that's
point,
a moon
right.
for us, but not for the Romans, but implying that in most cases it would be similar.
Right.
In this particular case.
It could be you're right, but it's just not relevant.
It's not clear.
Yeah, the question is how would you know what is appropriate for the non-Jewish
yeah, plus
culture?
You can
anyway.
All the rules for different,
different sects. Yeah.
Right. So that's not necessarily a limitation. The Ritzvi Pesach Frein is not necessarily a limitation on our rules. It's just a clarification, right? That it only applies to Jewish wine. Doesn't necessarily it can't just use it for non-Jewish wine as well. Okay, so that's number one, right? Is there a point? At what point do you divide it up between Yain Yisrael versus Stam Yinam? I don't know. Maybe we'll cover that as we move along in our learning. So Rav Yashiv has the following issue, though, which is one that someone brought up earlier. He says, "Mi'atel das harash v'siyaso." That's source number 7. Right, this is from Kovitz Shuvas Rav Yashiv. The chol heter b'yayin mevushel delo gazer mishum benoseim hu mishum dehavim milsa delo shricha. Right, he says the whole heter is because it's an uncommon thing. Im kein in nishtanu. It's cut off. In nishtanu something. Asiyas hayayin asidarim asiyas hayayin sidrei asiyas hayayin v'chol hayenos nasim ofen shebeterem nigmru asiyas hayayin mipasterim osam hare nofal hatam to have a milsa lo shicha. He says if they change the rules and say that all wine has to be pasteurized. Right, so then how can you say it's a milsa de l'shchicha? He says, however, Ella, as Sheldon was saying, Ella she'efshar, maybe you could say lomar mikivin to bisman gezeres chazal kashasu stamyinim lo gazrel yai mevushel. He says that maybe when they made the gezer, it wasn't imposed on yai mevushel. Gam imazman in bisman man. Bisman min hazmanim mishtana seder asiyah yai mikol makom in biyadein lo hosif al gezeres chazal. Right, maybe it would be though that we would add on what they said. He says, however, achein establish ein bazeh mishum gezeira chadasha. He says, however, it doesn't make sense. It would be a new gezeira. Ki arei zeh pashut shebizman shegazu chazal lesor bana stam yinam mishum nuseim lo chutzurchu b'mefurish yain b'mushal. He says, no, the part of the gezeira was that the non-Jews, right, wouldn't want b'mushal wine. Also, meila lo nichnas yain b'mushal b'chal gezeira. But if it changes so that, you know, there are big billboards in Manhattan advertising Mevushel wine, right, so maybe that would make it Shkiach again. Right? So that's what he concludes. In Yisbarer, if it becomes clear, Shekachu Seder Asiyas Hayayin, that that's the way they make Bismanenu, Chol Hayenos Heim Miposrim, and all the wines are pasteurized, Ari Lefia Amor, Yesh Lizar, Lo Lishtos Yayin Shnagav Ogoy, Omachal Shas Befrahesia, Af Al Af Shehu Miposter. Right, if it becomes clear, it becomes the thing that every wine becomes pasteurized. So Rav Yashav holds, Yashav says, then you're right. The gezeirah would fall away, and if any non-Jew touches your wine, or if any non-Shomer Shabbos Jew touches your wine, even if it is mevushel, it's going. You're not going to be allowed to drink it anymore. So people quote Rav Yashav as assering mevushel wine, or as asser, you know, as saying that's not really what he said. If you look carefully at what he said. Right, he said, if it becomes that all wine is pasteurized, that's not the case.
Yeah, if all wine is pasteurized and all pasteurized is mevushel, then there would never be a non-mevushel wine.
Right, and therefore you can't say it's a milsa lo shchicha. But in the realm of the world,
there are non-mevushel wines. It's obvious that's not true.
Well, first of all, there sure are non-mevushel wines. Second of all, I think whoever was telling him this. My impression is it might have been under the assumption that all, just like all milk is pasteurized, and all orange juice is pasteurized, all wine is pasteurized, and that's not true. Right? Wine is generally not pasteurized. That's the that's.
Well, did you the kosher wine?
So that's the question. So what does it mean that it's milk?
You have to look for non.
So what does that mean? So is what percentage does it have to become in order to be milk to the shkiach? Are you judging within kosher wines? Or are you judging within all wines? So I don't know. Lefi Nias Daisi, you would measure with all wines because the whole gezeirah. I mean, why is all the wine in the non kosher wine store not kosher? It's because of this gezeirah, right? It's not possible because they put pig in it, right? Or they might put another different ingredient in it, right? And you're not allowed to drink it because of this gezeirah. So. In order to, and why is it, you know, and therefore, what's the story with mevushel wine? So mevushel wine, so in our view, because that's all we drink, or whatever, or that's half of what we drink, right? So in our view, oh, of course it's shchiach. But if you have to, like, walk into a wine store and walk behind the shelf where they keep the kosher wine, right? So then that's a milsa de lo shchicha, right? I think, I don't know, Lefi Anias Daisi, you would measure it against all the wine in the wine store, not just the kosher wine in the wine store.
But how do you know if the non-kosher wine is pasteurized?
It's not.
How do you know that?
Most is not. How do I know? Because no one...
It's not the same emotional, because it's not kosher.
No, because they don't pasteurize wine. It ruins the wine.
Why want to boil wine?
But the purpose of pasteurizing wine was to keep it from spoiling. That was the original reason why pasteur invented the process.
That might be, but what...
But we get it spoiled.
So yeah. You could listen to... On the radio, they play those commercials for wine and more in New Jersey, where they try to get you to buy the stuff coming in, right? Where they have those funny commercials, mm-hmm. right? So they have their all their people on staff that they advertise about. You could ask them. My understanding is that you could read Kosher Nation, available in the Lower Merion Library. I have a little chapter here from Sue Fishkoff's book. She has a whole chapter on kosher wine. And that's the argument. I mean, the reason why people don't like kosher wine is because it's pasteurized. It's because it's mevushel, right? And that's how she concludes her little chapter here. The final issue here is from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a problem with the pasteurization process. He says, wait a second, who says that that's really considered mevushel? It's one thing to say that it only has to be 165 degrees, but who says that it's 165 degrees for a half a second, that counts? And not only that, but it's all in one place. Meaning you, it's one thing to say that, oh, you boil it and the wine goes up to Shemayim. But he says when you pasteurize it, it's in a sealed thing, and whenever it goes out, it goes right back in. So who says that that's considered the din?
They don't want to lose any money. I think nowadays they put in sulfites, which probably prevents it from spoiling. Almost every wine you buy is sulfites.
That's true. Yes, he says, you can see in the middle, right, the middle line here, he says, Afal Gav, it begins with the words Afal Gav, Afal Gav, Shekal Gadol Hudein Lanu Elam, Asher Gazur Chazav Lo Hosif Al Gzeru Sam. Right here, he's like kvetching, you know, like, yeah, even though we don't want to be machber, whatever Chazal did, we don't add to their gezeiras, mikol makom, mikol hal and time, for all these reasons that we said, the Amran, in any day, echef shel hakam, nismachal pister, shirak mimis es ha chayadkim, chaydakim, lechoshul kemavushal, right? That we just, heat up the
bacteria.
The bacteria, right? To just burn out the bacteria, and that's considered mavushal. Afagav shalom nikr bo shum shinoi, right? You don't recognize any difference. Velo nechzer klal miyamida, and you don't even lose any of the measurement. The taste doesn't change, and the smell doesn't change. Right, and all of it, the kulam koron and that which they call yain stam and not yain mavushal. And it's also it's found very often. Therefore, he thinks that you have to be careful. Rishon Zalman was machmer on this. I think the answer to it is that he asked. He says his line here is nishtana klal taimo v'reach v'klum. Right, nothing changes. So my understanding is that it does. Now I'm not one of these people that is a connoisseur. I don't know the difference, but people do. I don't know. Either they claim they do or they. They're making up that they do, or they actually do. But it seems from this, I don't have to go back to when you guys were kids. I go back to when I was a kid, right? The only kosher wine you could really get was Manischewitz, Red Concord, right? With extra sugar, right? And why is it that it was all because when the Jews came, she writes about this in the chapter here. Yeah. Because the Jews, those are New York grapes, the only grapes you get in New York. So it's these thick grapes, and you had to add a lot of sugar. So that's all that they had. It says, and she writes in her chapter here that what changed the Jewish, the kosher wine market is a lot of Bali Tshuva coming in and saying, I'm not drinking this
stuff.
Right? We're gonna work on this on our own. And these grape vineyards in California and things like that, all of that is pushed by, he claims, by Bali Tshuva. On one hand, Bali Tshuva that are in the movement saying we want to actually drink good stuff, and also people saying that we don't want people to think that becoming Orthodox means you got to give up on your good ones. So the story that Rabbi Rakefet tells here from Washington about his trials and tribulations in Lower Marion Synagogue. So Baruch Hashem are a thing of the past, not just because people's levels of observance have gone up, natural and the entire Orthodox community, but because there isn't the Yetzer Hara of we need to have wine to fit our tastes, and the only way to get that is for it to be not kosher. So it seems like that Baruch Hashem has gone to the wayside. Okay,
so his fast translation is 90 seconds.